This is RÚV English Radio with Darren Adam, daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.
Hello, this is RÚV English Radio. I'm Darren Adam. Thanks very much for your company. My guest today is someone who's right at the very heart of a really interesting weekend coming up in Holmavik in the Westfjords, Hrafnhildur Ingigudjonsdottir, who is behind the Sorcery Festival in the town of Holmavik. Now, you might remember last year here on RÚV English, we went to the Sorcery Exhibition, the Museum of Sorcery and Witchcraft in Holmavik, which is a town right at the very gateway, you might say, to Strandir and the northwestern part of the Westfjords, which is a very magical area, isn't it, Hrafnhildur? The part of the Westfjords that we're talking about really did see a lot of sorcery, a lot of witchcraft.
It has certainly has some sort of pull and some sort of witchcraft in the surrounding area, and everybody who drives there will tell you the same.
So your involvement, you were telling me before we switched on the microphone, you, as am I, a fan of that sorcery and witchcraft museum in Holmavik, and the idea for this festival came from there?
Yeah, I've been coming to the Sorcery Museum for a few years now, on and off through the years. I don't know why Holmavik keeps pulling on me, but it does. And I always end up here again. And then this little idea just emerged and we decided to just take it all the way.
And if you go to that museum, or if you know anything, I guess, about Icelandic magic, it's the sigils and the staves and these beautifully ornate, but very, some cases, very complicated designs, these symbols that have been created, which are alleged or thought to have had magical properties. That's at the heart of this, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And people used to use those in the 16th century of Iceland. And it was very forbidden at the time. So people would hide any sort of sigils that they would keep in their belongings. And if you were found with that, that meant trouble.
And that was enough evidence, wasn't it? Just to be found in possession of one of these drawings, even if you'd made it yourself.
Yeah, exactly. So it was pretty harsh.
And as we touched on last year, men were persecuted much more than women in Iceland, which is unusual when you consider that women were generally thought to have been acting as witches across the rest of Europe at the time.
Yeah, the men here were prosecuted and they were burnt, and it was just an overall terrible time. I think the women were less involved in this publicly. Like maybe the men were more kind of having feuds or, I don't know, showing off. But yeah, it is a different take on it than it happened in the rest of the Europe. So yeah, I guess that's a good thing for women here, even though they were also hunted and persecuted as well, and like mostly with drownings instead of burnings.
None of that happening now, of course. These sigils, these symbols are celebrated almost, and I think they're going to be during the festival. There is a lot of interest now, isn't there? A lot of legitimate interest in these designs and what they were thought to be capable of.
Yes, for sure. My main job is a tattoo artist, and I own my own studio downtown Reykjavik. I have been specializing in 16th century Icelandic magic for years now. Like it's coming on to 10 years I've been tattooing. And most of that time I always went into the sigils, and they also have a very great pull on me. And I love using that in my work. So I feel the interest is definitely growing. And these sigils are being celebrated for what they are, which is just a beautiful magic.
And when you have customers coming in who maybe haven't done their research, or perhaps they've gone on to Google and they've found something they like from the first page that they've seen, are you keen to warn them if perhaps they've got a symbol wrong, or it's the wrong way around, or they're not using it in the correct way?
The way I tattoo is I like to sit down with a person. I like to have a little conversation, and I want to know why they want this symbol. If they're sat on a symbol, I want to know why. And like, okay, so you have this symbol, but perhaps we should look at these instead because they might fit better. And they haven't seen those. And so usually we just discuss things and find out what will actually work for them. And sometimes we even make a bespoke sigil. So I will make up one for them.
We talked a little bit about tattoos. That's something that you do in Reykjavik as part of your living, but it's a part of this weekend as well, isn't it?
Yes. So we will have 14 of our great friends coming over, and they are all renowned for their art. They specialize in Nordic art, and they will be there all weekend tattooing. So you can actually just drop by and see if anybody has availability. And if you're looking to get something amazing tattooed on you, then you won't be disappointed.
A lot of this magic was intended to be harmful. I've read an interview with you where you say that back in those days, Iceland was a very tough place to live and people all hated each other. They all hated their neighbors. So some of those magical symbols had malign or unpleasant effects. But a lot of it's very positive. A lot of it is about being able to fish better or to get a better catch or to improve the weather for farming or whatever it happens to be. Do you think on balance, it's a positive force or a negative force?
I think it can be both, but for the person using it, it should always be a positive thing, even though you are trying to get down on your neighbor. You're trying to make their milk,
curdle
and all that. So I think for the user, it depends on your intent, how you want to use it. But obviously it's better to use it positively than it is negatively. And that quote was absolutely hilarious. I made my day. But in the sagas, you're always seeing these feuds between neighbors, and you're always seeing this guy hated this guy for no other reason than they were just like neighbors. So that's kind of where that came from. And a lot of the magic is actually used to kind of, just get some hatred towards your neighbor, and their milks will curdle and their wives will leave them. And, it's just terrible.
There was obviously a lot of belief in this. Is there any evidence that any of it worked or could be said to work?
I couldn't say, but I do know that a client came to me years ago, and she and her husband have been trying for IVF. Like, they've been trying to have a baby for a long time, and this was their last chance. They just couldn't do it again because it's a very expensive procedure. So she got the live stave tattooed on her uterus area. And then she sent me a picture 8 months later where she was like massive with triplets.
Triplets.
So I was like, okay, I'm not saying that I had anything to do with it because doctors are very good at what they do. But you never know.
Now, you're a musician in the band Vivaki alongside your husband. Let's turn then to what's happening this weekend. It's taking place between the 19th and the 21st during the festival. Music's part of it?
Yeah, music will be amazing. We have really great bands. Kæla Mikla, they're the Iceland's goth witches. They are fantastic. They are sure to draw a lot of attention, and they fit the festival completely, perfectly. We also have Umbra, which are these beautiful women that blend in folk, Icelandic folk music with classical music. And it's something that you should always check out. Our band Vievaki, I'm in Vievaki with my husband, Sigur Bode Gretason, and Will Hunter, who founded the band. And we will be on stage there doing our Kvæði and our influence from Eddas. And then there are so many other great bands that we are so much looking forward to hear.
And beyond the music, what else can we expect?
We will have a little Viking village that Rimmugeir, which is the Viking reenactment of Hafnarfjörður, they were set up. So they are the ones that are in charge of the Viking festival in Hafnarfjörður every year.
Yes, we were there last year, actually. Yeah,
it's beautiful. And they will set up a small village just to showcase the Viking life, and they will have little entertainments. Like, you can go and throw an axe or shoot a bow. And they will also showcase how they did various things, like knitting and, I'm not sure what they will be up to, but it's going to be interesting. We also have very, very interesting lectures. So many people are coming from all over to have a little lecture of their passion. And we both have Icelandic people and foreign people coming.
Now, this is an important part of Icelandic culture. It's become something, as we said, that people have become interested in the last few years. There are lots of books. There are any number of books you can buy on runes, for example, which is related to what we're talking about. It is an important part of the culture. Do you think it's now getting the respect that it deserves?
I feel like it's getting more, there's more information about it now. It's not this weird thing that people are doing because they are like in their basements, you know, like reading runes and being all weird and teenagery, you know, like, I think now people are seeing what they are and how they, like, how respected and sacred they were in the past. And I think that's a good thing. We are also getting some negative impact on the runes, you know, like people who shouldn't be using them are using them for their, not very nice cause. And that's also something that we have to be careful about. So we are kind of trying to take them back and showcase that, like, no, these are not connected to this. This is this, you know, this is sacred. This is from our past. And this should be used that way.
And is it something that you use or make use of in your day-to-day life?
I use runes a lot. I take my guidance from them sometimes. It's nothing specific. I have like a little rune bag. Sometimes I just like to pick some runes out and just ask. It's kind of like reading the horoscope in the newspaper. So for me, it's kind of something nice to do. It's not necessarily like I'm like reading into the runes and seeing what they say and like listening to them intently. It's more like, this is nice, you know, like I will see what you say today.
And if people want to make their own rune sets, that's thought to be more authentic than buying one from somebody else. You just need some stones or pieces of wood.
Yeah, I think you should just do whatever. Like, buying them is, of course, there's nothing wrong with that. The ones that I have, I pick them from Snæfellsnes because the beaches there have those beautiful round stones. So if you ever want to make your own rune set, you can go to a beach in Snæfellsnes and find, you know, the perfect stones.
I heard about somebody once making their own set of rune stones using 10 kroner coins. And they had drawn with a red marker pen each rune symbol onto these 24 coins.
That's very clever.
Does that mean your approval?
Yeah, that sounds amazing. It's very, very initiative.
Yes, it saves a bit of money as well, literally, doesn't it, I suppose. So the festival taking place this weekend from the 19th to the 21st in Humlevik. There's a very great deal going on. Is this the first time you've done this?
This is the first time I've done this. And Anna, who has been my absolute right hand, like
she's the owner of
curator of the Sorcerer Museum. If it wasn't for me and her doing this together, this wouldn't happen. And this all has to do with the community around us. We are being helped so much. Everybody is so happy to give their work because obviously this is the first time we're doing it. So there's not a lot of budget. Everybody's just making it work, helping out. It's really been beautiful creating this because the whole community has come together, both the artists and the lecturers and the community of Westwards. It's just amazing to see how far this has come from being this little tiny idea that I had.
And again, the distance that we've traveled from the horrors of the 16th century to today, the very possession of one of these sigils would have had you arrested and executed in the 16th century. Now, the Helm of Awe, I think it is on the town crest in Holmavik, isn't it? It's part of the logo of the town.
Yeah, be terrified.
It looks a bit scary if you don't know what it is, I suppose, as you're coming into the town. It's going to be a lot of fun as well.
It should be very fun. And it's funny that you mentioned the sigils and like prosecution and stuff, because on the Friday evening, we will have a ritual where we will walk from the music place and walk all the way down to the beach and have a bonfire. But what we're going to do before we have a blood ritual, which is our pagan ritual, is that we will have a burning of the witch, which will not be a burning of the witch, obviously, which is more like the witch taking back her power, because I think this is definitely what is needed. Just like us taking back our power, artistic people, people who are weird and creative, we aren't witches. We are normal people that just want to have the freedom to create and just to exist the way we want to exist. And so that will be a really, really beautiful happening on Friday night at 10.
The full program is, I think, online at sorceryfestival.is. That's all one word, sorceryfestival.is. Much of it centered around that wonderful Museum of Witchcraft and Sorcery in Holmavik, which is a wonderful town as well to spend some time in. So there's a lot of fun ahead and a great experience, I think, over the next couple of days. I'm really disappointed that I can't make it myself because Ruv is having its annual party on the Saturday night.
Otherwise, just tell them to come. Tell all of them to come.
We should have the whole the whole event in Holmavik.
Yes.
I've heard worse ideas, to be honest. Thank you very much, Rapnhildur Inga Gudjonsdottir.
Thank you so much.
As I say, sorceryfestival.is is the place to find out more. We are Ruv English, and you can contact me anytime, english@ruv.is.
Veistu hver ráða skal.
There is more from RÚV English with all the news from Iceland in English at ruv.is/English. RÚV English Radio is a daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.